Probably the coolest and like. So you guys, I don't know if you guys know, but like I was an NCSYer and like Rabbi Black, he wasn't really involved with juniors at that point, but like he was just like, he's like prestigious. Like when you're like, when you're friends with Rabbi Black, like you have, like you have it made. Like Rabbi Black literally owns Toronto. He walks in and like.
No, I'm not friends with DL.
We're not. I'm not even close to being friends with him. But like, there's like this massive rub who like controls Toronto, and we were like talking like randomly to staff meetings, like, and like Rabbi Black walks into this room and like they're like all, was it at a wedding or something? And Rob Miller like stopped and was like, oh, like Rabbi Black. Like Rabbi Black is probably like one of the most revered like top rabbis like in Toronto, and he's also like the CEO of NCSY Canada, and Rabbi Aryeh's mentors. We were like, for the staff conference, we needed to like fill out like with like which part of like senior staff, like the upper staff, like would you want to like listen to and like have meetings with, and like I think we both wrote Rabbi Black because like he's so easy to relate to on like every different level. And
can you please stop?
No. My favorite Rabbi Black moment is like when I was having my interview for like juniors last year, and all of a sudden like we're in the middle of a meeting with like Shmuley and whatever, and all of a sudden his phone starts going off and he's like, oh, like that's my reminder that I'm supposed to remember the Horban. Like, I'm supposed to remember that the base of Mikdash was destroyed right now. And I'm like, okay, well, I think I told you that. Like, I think I called you. I'm like, hey, like, do you want to hear how holy Rabbi Black is? Okay. This is Rabbi Black.
Is it okay if I talk from here? Or I feel bad. I don't see this young lady over here.
You probably don't want me to see you because you're checking your friends right now. First of all, I'm only here for a night. It is an unbelievable schus for me to be here. Anything that you just heard about me is totally true about DL and Rabbi Friedner.
And we're here in Toronto.
No, that you really are my hero.
I'm sure Rob Miller would stop. Like,
DL is no question, a legend. A legend in Toronto, and we're sorely. I only came here to say, see if I can get her back. That's why I'm here. No, I'm just joking, you can keep her. And, but Aryeh's gonna kill me if I take her back tomorrow. But I came here just to spend some time to learn how Cleveland does its NCSY so we can further our goals in Toronto and across Canada and try to learn from you guys. That's the truth. We came here to see what you guys do so we can take it back with us and the Chazak are all people. I'm just here for a few minutes. You guys are going to do a program, and I'm not exactly sure what I can add to your existence right now, but I want to just maybe share with you. You guys don't have a piece of paper or a pen, but
yeah, on
in
the
your
wall.
Mind,
I already put it on the wall.
I asked for you to have a piece of paper or a pen.
No, well, I know how you work. I'm just joking.
Yeah, there's no way you knew I was going to do that because I didn't think about it until just the second. What's that?
There's always paper on the wall at the other side.
Take out your phones for 1 second. And I want you to write down, but don't tell it to anybody, okay? You don't need paper and pen. That's old school, guys.
New notes.
Make a note somewhere. You send yourself an email. It doesn't really matter. How much are you worth?
If you can work it, go ahead.
How much we're worth?
Yeah, how much are you worth?
Like, value-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, take a minute. Think about it. Are you guys sort of ready? Oh, this is the honoree thing you got? When you hit the honoree?
Yeah.
Isn't it
really
beautiful? I never saw it. Okay, you got some idea? So I want to tell you a story. This question was asked to Moses Montefiore in the late 1800s.
I just did a project on him.
Remember this quote? What was he about? How did he make all his money?
I have no idea.
What's your name?
Sunny.
Sunny, you fail. Credit, whatever that is. Sir Monty, what years was he around? What years? Oh, come on!
I paid someone to
do it for me.
This is the RDA! Oh, you thought you were joking.
You're really
going to
be away, Sunny Stone.
You did the project for her?
No.
Oh.
I wanted to do the project.
You'll find in life that would be a bad trait, what you just did, but for now it's okay. But Sir Moses Montefiore, whatever years he's lived, sometime in the 1800s, somebody came over to him and they said, how much are you worth? So he said a number. I want to hear from your number in a moment. Then don't erase it. Don't do anything after I tell you the story. And he said some number, whatever it was, millions of dollars. So he said, I know you're worth a journalist. I know you're worth way more than that. You have companies, and you have buildings, and you have real estate, and you have stocks. You have all this. You're not worth that. He said, you didn't ask me how much I have. You asked me how much I'm worth. I'm only worth what I've been able to contribute to the world. And that's the number of tzedakah I've given. And I want you just to take a minute. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't do anything. How much money are you worth? How much are you worth? Can you want to tell us how much, what you put down?
I said however much I think I'm worth.
How much is that?
I don't know. Like however much I believe I'm worth.
How much is that?
I don't know.
Okay. What'd you write?
I just wrote a lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros? But hopefully one in front of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of zeros is the same as...
Yeah.
What'd you write?
I...
Okay, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't write anything.
Okay.
Yeah?
What do you got?
I wrote that I'm worth as much as I make myself. So, like, I guess, like, it depends on the moment.
Like, how much would that be, do you think?
Depends on the moment.
Okay, like, right now, this moment.
10,000.
Okay, 10,000. Very good.
A lot.
A lot. Just a lot.
Maybe
it's a lot. Okay, how much?
I'm saying, like, I think people in general, like, there's no price that you can pay for someone.
Okay. Good. Hold that thought.
Go. I said I'm worth the world.
$14.
Yeah. That's the right answer. What is that?
I wrote how much money I gave for tzedakah.
Oh, you wrote that same thing?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, great. And you? I'm sorry, let's skip over you.
I didn't write anybody.
You write it? So the answer is that it's a false question. It's not a fair question because if you put money as a number, if you put one and a lot of zeros, even an infinite amount of zeros, or if you think you're $10,000 worth, or if you think that you're based on the tzedakah you give, or you're worth the world, or I forgot what you said exactly.
A lot,
right? So all of that is actually not so accurate.
Or 14,000.
Because all you're thinking is in terms of how I define the question. The moment I used the word worth, you thought of money. Whether it's tzedakah, 10,000, a lot, it made no difference. You thought of yourself as a value of currency. Now, if you don't know this yet because you're still young, but if you took a newspaper any single day, you would be worth more one day and less one day based on stock market. If you had stocks, if you had $1 million of stock, $100,000 stock, $10,000 stock, or $5 in stocks, it doesn't make a difference. The stock's going to go up, you're going to be worth more. Stock's going to go down, you're going to be worth less. If you value yourself in the same way the stock market works, then you really are disvaluing yourself as who you are. You're not at all defining yourself in the right way. What happens in life is that young people get caught up in that language. Once you start talking about worth, you start thinking about money. And that is exactly the mistake. Your worth is what you contribute, how you make this world a better place, what you add, what's the value you add. I want to tell you an amazing story. You know, you ever hear of the Nobel Prize? You ever hear of Alfred Nobel? Did you do a project you paid somebody to do?
I have.
You've heard of him or you paid somebody to do a project on Alfred Nobel? That seems to be a Cleveland area thing.
I've heard of him.
Alfred Nobel created the Nobel Peace Prize. You know how, Nobel Prize, you know how he started that? You know the story?
Yeah.
Well, please, sure.
He created dynamite.
Yeah,
no,
he was.
Actually, you tell the story.
Why? That's true.
Well, I like to hear it.
Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. And dynamite in the 1800s was the nuclear bomb of the day. It would blow up banks, trains, whatever it was. It was used mostly for destructive reasons, not for positive reasons. And it was used for construction, whatever, but mostly destructive, not productive. Well, one day, Alfred Nobel was in a hotel in France. And he picked up the newspaper, and he was opening it during eating his Brantford flakes with banana in the morning. And he saw an obituary. You know what an obituary is? A list of people who died? And he saw his name. His own name. It said Alfred Nobel died in French. And it said, Le marchand de la mort est mort. I thought I'd do some French for you from Canada. Does anybody know what that means? Le marchand de la mort est mort. The merchant of death is dead. And he spoke about all the nasty things about this guy. This is a true story. In fact, his brother had passed away the night before. The journalist who had recovered that story had made an error and thought it was not the brother, whatever his name was, I can't remember, but it was Alfred, and they spoke about him. And when he saw his own obituary, you know what he did? He had millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he said, I have dedicated my whole life to the destructive means of life, to helping people destroy, I'm going to revise it, I'm going to review my life, and I'm going to say, I'm going to do something very creative. So he created, put his money, millions of dollars in the 1800s, is worth hundreds of millions of dollars today. He put that money into a fund, and it continues to accrue interest, and from that money, he created the Nobel Prize in science and in math and in chemistry and all these different things, and he was able to bring positivity to them. You think of Alfred Nobel as a really good guy, right? He wasn't always like that. He saw himself, finally, after years and years and years of his life, who he would ultimately be. What was his value? His value is what he was able to contribute to the world, not how much money he had, how he can contribute to the world. It wasn't about the dynamite. It wasn't about what he did. It's what who he was as a person made a big difference. And that's a big thing. I'm going to leave you with one thought, unless you enjoy this conversation, I'll tell you 20 more stories. I don't know if you can do that right now, but it is really worthwhile. And I'm going to tell you why you should do this. It is really worthwhile. In businesses, they do this. Everybody does this. This is a standard. They write a mission statement. Mission statement. Mission statement means you have a driving focus of what it is I want to accomplish in life. What the business is about. Mission statement for a company that makes widgets. Widgets is like the fictitious business terminology, which is actually a widget is really, if you really want to know what a widget is, if you ever learned this stuff, it's a squeegee. You know squeegee, the head of a squeegee? It's called a widget, really, but no one really knows that. But you have they make a widget, and how many widgets you make, and you want to be the best in the world in widgets. So our motto is the best in the in North American widgets. That's the mission statement. Whatever that is, maybe Blockbuster used to be Go Home Happy video store. So you probably don't remember that because it's Netflix now, but or Redbox or whatever you do here. I don't know what it is, but Go Home Happy. That was a thing. You didn't go home happy. You didn't make the mission statement. I have been telling young people for a long time now that what they should do is stop for a few minutes in their lives, maybe in a session like this, maybe tonight, maybe another time, and write down a personal mission statement for your life. A personal mission statement. What it is I want to look like, or the world around me will look like because I was here. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And you're only 15, 16, 17, maybe 18. If you could figure that out today, the next 50 years of your life will look completely different. And if you listen to what I'm saying to you, you'll be within the 3% percentile of the top kids in North America who even think in these terms. 97% of people will never think like this. They won't even write it down. If you're smart enough and you listen to what I'm telling you, one day in your life, soon, you write it down so you can have a trajectory that's totally clear. Here's what I want, and you'll change it as you go. Businesses do this. No business runs without its mission statement. None. But human beings, for whatever reason, live their whole lives confused and derailed all the time. They have a mission statement, you know where you want to go. You know where you want to be. You know what you want to accomplish. That's an amazing, amazing thing that you should think about. An accomplishment. And by the way, let me leave you with the last thought. If you're in your mind while I said a mission statement for life, and in your mind you use the word happy, you failed. If your head says, I would like to be happy as a mission statement, which probably you were thinking of, or probably half of you were saying that, happy is not a mission statement. Happy is irrelevant. And I want to tell you what I mean by that. And with this, I'll finish off. If you're a diabetic, like I am, I'm not a major diabetic, but if I'm diabetic, I love chocolate. I mean, I love chocolate, okay? I'm probably like you guys. I know that while I'm eating chocolate, it is awesome. I am so happy. But 10 minutes later, I got to check my blood. And if my blood is high, I could actually kill myself. So am I happy when I'm eating chocolate? I am really happy. But is happy good? Happy is bad. Let me give you another scenario. Let's say, for instance, you live in a very large house. I actually had this conversation. I was in a mansion yesterday in Toronto. A guy's house. David, did I tell you this? David Cinnamon. You know, JBN did a thing last night. David Cinnamon, he used to own in Toronto, Argonauts, the football team. Toronto was a very, very billionaire, 49 years old, very young, three little children, crazy. I mean, successful beyond belief, okay? In his driveway, where I could try to find a spot for my little Honda Accord, he had a Maserati, a Lincoln SUV, a Range Rover, a Land Rover, like, and only like two drivers in the house, like 11 cars. So I said to some of the students there, I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. I said, imagine, what is a goal in life? He said, this is the goal of life, this house, this life. outside. He had a pool, it's like a wave pool that has, like, you know, those things, they push, you know, the waves that come, you know, those things, they push back at you so you can feel like you're really in an ocean or something like that. Huge basketball court in the backyard. It has huge, whatever, I mean, art, fancy this or fancy that. Okay. So I said, that's the goal, right? The goal must be that. I said, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you the same thing. I want you to think about it. Imagine you bought a house that was half the size. Instead of 10,000 square feet, then that's 5,000 square feet. This house is about 1,500 square feet. Okay? So just think, three times this. Instead of 10,000 square feet, 5,000 square feet. And instead of spending 5,000 square feet of money, you take that money, which let's say is worth $50,000, which you could spend on yourself, you deserve it, and you decide that instead of you living in 10,000 square feet, you will live in a house that's 5,000 square feet, but you will give $50,000 to homeless people so they can have a roof over their heads. Now what really, for 1 minute, just think about that, what will make you more happy? 5,000 more square feet, or every night before you put your head on that pillow, you know that 20 other families also got to put their head on that pillow. What makes you happy? The bigger house or the choice that you make? Let's say you like a camera. What do you girls buy? Shoes. Girls love shoes. So let's say it's shoes, right? So you make a decision, you want to raise, you want to get money, you bug your mom, your dad, you want to buy shoes, and you finally buy a pair of shoes. You know what happens at school, and you know this for a fact. How long does it last? I would say that the new shoe effect lasts no more than 1 day. Because at the end of that day, after you wear the shoes, first of all, it's over. But it's worse than that. Somebody else bought a nicer pair of shoes. And now you're going to spend the next 2 months trying to figure out how to get that pair of shoes. And by the time you get to that pair of shoes, we have this in Toronto, Canada Goose jackets. That was the big thing. You had a Canada, if you didn't wear a Canada Goose, you were nobody. It's a $600 jacket. Do you have that here, Canada Goose?
No, they're
$900. $900 jacket. Okay, everybody was buying Canada Goose. But imagine if you can buy, instead of buying a Canada Goose jacket, you bought a $200 jacket, instead of $900, took $700, and you helped give a kid a scholarship to something. Or you help somebody with whatever chesed that is. Whatever that was, whatever you thought was important. What ultimately makes you happier? Buying things for yourself, having more, or realizing that you could actually have so much more by having a little bit less. It's not less at all, it's exponential. But how do you view yourself? Do you see yourself as a person who's supposed to accommodate, accomplish, and do all the things so that I can be successful? Or am I going to be successful so that I can do all these things for the rest of the community around me? If you can figure out how to create a mission statement today, if you can figure out the real definition of happy, satisfaction, glory, power, it's not in the stuff you'll ever buy, ever. It's in the stuff that you'll do. It's in the people you'll affect. It's in the impact you'll have on somebody else. One person, 1,000 people, 1 million, that doesn't make a difference. But never about how great you are or what you accomplished. This guy, David Sinnerman, was all about him. This is what I own. And he says, I give charity. What does he mean, give charity? He opened his house and he made some sushi. I don't know how much charity he gives, but he's not known like big macher in the city. He could be, and he should be one day. He's just still young, and he's still just making his first billion. But he's going to get there. But it's not about how much he has, how much he does with what he has. That's the key. So create that mission statement. Think about it. Think about what it is, and don't write the word happy. Your life is not about being happy. You'll be happier with less if you know that the less can create more good. When I told those kids last night, 5 public school kids, that their kids, that I asked them, how much do your parents pay in Jewish education for you? They're like, how much do your parents pay for your Jewish education? So the kids, all of them said, zero. And that's true. And I said, well, for me, I have 4 children. They'll go to school for about 20 years. I will spend $1.2 million, $60,000 a year on average, through their Jewish education. That's what your parents are paying, by the way. Same thing. I will pay $1.2 million on Torah. I said, I could have this house. I could have that car. I could have that pool. I could have that cottage. But to me, Torah education for my children is so much more valuable. When they heard that this little rabbi will spend $1.2 million over the course of his life for his Torah children, They could not, their mouth dropped. They couldn't believe it because it's such a big number. But to me, I would, if I could, I'd pay three times. Thank God they're not asking. But I'd pay three times that amount of money because to me, that's what it's all about. Values, not money. What is the greatest value you could put into this world? So for me, it's of course the life that we try to live in NC's life, to give back so much more to Cholesterol, as you guys are as leaders, but also to my own children, the greatest impact I'll ever make in my life. The greatest impact you'll ever make in your life, by the way, if you're lucky, will be on your own children. And people miss that sometimes when they're in rabbi jobs and stuff like that. The greatest thing you'll do in your life. So invest in yourself so that you can invest in your children. Write a mission statement so you can create a life that is worth living. And remember that your value is not determined by somebody else's numerical value or what they think is important. It's about what you're able to contribute to the world. So thank you very much for allowing me to give you a little bit.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. I think I'm leaving now, right? Is that right? We're done?
Unless you want to hang out.
No, I think they don't need me. Okay, girls, nice to meet you.